this evening will be from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Good evening to everyone. It's good to see everyone here this evening as we engage in study of God's Word. I have had just a wonderful time being with you this week and just enjoying the just each of you as I got to know as many as I possibly could this week and spending time with you and talking with you. And you have been so kind and encouraging by the things that you have said and the things that you have provided me thus far as we have engaged in these series of lessons. I want to express my appreciation to Vernon and Edith for providing lunch today and enjoy Joy herself. We were riding in the back there, and she didn't really take too kindly to me at first. But after a while, I told her, you'll get used to me. And the next thing you know, she was holding my finger and wouldn't let it go. And so I just enjoyed being with them and just had a great time at the table and just talking and laughing and just learning about how one becomes the life of both Edith and Vernon as they became Christians. And it is so thrilling to hear those lessons and those thoughts and what the things that went through their mind. And it was just an encouraging moment. And spending time with Wayne as well as we sat down together and just, again, enjoying each other's company, laughing and talking and just spending time with them. And then this evening, I really appreciate Justin and Jennifer and Samuel and Jude for providing dinner this evening. Had a great time with them. Just enjoyed being with them. And I'll tell you what, that Jude, he can go. I mean, you talking about energy? Oh, wow, I have that kind of energy? I don't know. Y'all probably say, well, let's not have Albert back because he has energy. But I just enjoyed them, those two, and they're just fine young men. And all of the young folks here, I want to encourage you to keep doing what is right and learning and growing in the grace and knowledge of God. And then I just have appreciated the hospitality that was given and provided by the Edwards. I just enjoyed Eugene and you know your name, don't you? And Joan, I just enjoyed being with them and having a great time. Because we were talking about memory loss and everything. And I just enjoyed being with them and just getting to know great people. And I'm just excited for you and all of you in the work that they are doing and helping the congregation grow. And just the concerns for each of you has been expressed by them. And I just appreciate that. Because congregations remember our personality and how God has developed us and molded us. We each play a part in building up the work. And I just have been very encouraged by them. And again, all of you just working together. And as I said, I was able to put the ceiling fan back up like it was when I first came. It tore down because I was going around in circles and just having nice. But I just enjoyed being with them. And so it has been just a wonderful time. As I told someone, I said, I have been treated well so many ways. I had to like one. And the blessing was I loved all of them. So I just had a great time being with you. And I hope in some small way that I have been an encouragement to you. And you have expressed that. And that does my heart the good. Because if I can get you to think about the things of God, to cause you to grow and excite you to look at God's Word and apply it in your life so that you can grow and enjoy the relationship with God, I have accomplished the task that I came here to do. And so tonight I want to continue that as we bring some of these thoughts to a close, as we have been talking about after the heart of God. And truly, that is what it's about, being after the heart of God. And we have learned about who we are beginning Sunday morning. We learned about God, the heart of God, that it is a treasure trove. And we learned what it meant to be after the heart of God. And that is, He takes precedent in our lives. He is before us. It's all about Him. And then we learn in reference to that word after, we are to pursue to be like God. That our hearts will be molded after Him, and so that He will be pleased with us in the things that we say and do in our relationship, and observing the thoughts and living our lives so that He will be pleased with us. And at the end, that we will be with Him throughout eternity. We also talked about some of the things that were expressed here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, as Paul wrote to Timothy, verses 10 and 11, where he talks about for Timothy to flee the reference to the love of money and pursue, really, as he says, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness. And that is living the way that God wants us to live by, first of all, being justified, acquitted of the crime, and then being devoted to Him. And then when it came to faith, that we will follow and do whatever He says. And so tonight I want us to continue on the thought of pursuing love. Now, what do we mean when we're talking about love? Many of us, we have a concept in our Western world about what love is. And a lot of times it's the mushy-gushy feelings that one might have. And that's part of it, a little bit of that. But the majority of it in regards to love is just a whole dynamic of learning what God teaches about it. Because when you look in the Scriptures, we understand that love is a decision that you and I make. And so we have to understand what love is. And the only way that we can understand what love is by looking at God. And as we look at God in pursuing love of what the apostle has told Timothy, it is about learning to love as God loves. That's what it's about. Learning to love as God loves. And when we learn what love is all about, then we'll be able to pursue that which He is speaking of in the Scriptures. First of all, the word that is being used is really the basis of agape. And the idea of agape really is this goodwill or benevolence towards someone else. In other words, looking out for their best interest. That's love. And God demonstrated that as we read in the Scriptures, and we understand what is involved in that when we know who He is. And when we know who He is, and then we apply the principles that God shows us in His Word, then we're going to be like God, and we're going to love like God loves. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, and the passage that was read to us. Have you noticed the interesting thing about those verses there in 1 John chapter 4? You see, John is writing to Christians who are, there's a group of individuals going about, and what they're proclaiming to have knowledge. That they are the elite ones. And in order for you to really be right, you have to look to us. And that's what they were doing. And they were setting their own standards and so forth. And they didn't believe in God. Some of them believe that God is so far removed that there is no way that God would have any contact with us. They didn't even believe that God came in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. And so they really didn't understand what love was. And so John is writing to help them to understand. If you want to really know, and if you want to be above all of that, then you can know God. God has revealed Himself in the person of Christ Jesus and in the acts that Jesus did for us. So in 1 John chapter 4, we're told about that. And let's look at that again. Beloved, he says, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God. In other words, we know and learn about God, and as we learn and know about God, and then obey the gospel, then we are born after. In other words, we begin to be like Him as we follow His will. And as He points out, born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love, as he points out in the passage. And now notice, now we got a demonstration. How do we know that God is love? He says, by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. You notice that? And what John specifically mentions here is His only begotten. There's only one of His kind. Only one of His kind. And what did God do? God gave Him for us. Yeah, so that we might live. If it were not for God giving His only begotten Son, you and I could not live. Why? Because of our sins. But God loved. He cared for us. That He was willing to give the only one of His kind, His Son, for us. It's sort of like when you come down to the last piece of candy or something, and you know you have a taste for that one piece of candy, and someone comes and says, you know, I want a piece of candy. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have any. Why? Because we only got one piece left. Mm-hmm. And the picture and the image is, we need a piece of candy, and God says, I only have one, and I give it to you. That's really the kind of, and I put it on that level so that kids can understand that as well. And I know if the kids can see that and understand that, then we adults can. And this is on a higher plane when it came to Jesus the Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 10, in this is love, that not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What we're seeing in these verses is that God is the master of love. Yeah, God is. You know how we guys are. We walk around and we think that we're the standard of love. No, God has us beat. We learn how to love when we look at God. That's what 1 John chapter 4, these verses are showing us. And in fact, when it comes to understanding love, it must be looked at the framework of God. You remember this passage here over in Matthew chapter 22? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, it is here that we see what Jesus is teaching about, or He is asked a question by one of the lawyers. And then Jesus answers the question by pointing out in verses 37 and through 40, if you want to be right with God, and then he later on points out some other things, but in the verses there, he says, he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. That we are to love God with every aspect of our being. That's what he's teaching us. Our heart, the affection, should be towards God. And when he talks about, and with your soul, our very being there. The will, the action. And then, with all your mind and be intelligent and thinking the way that we ought to think in reference to God and what God teaches us, Jesus is answering that question. This is the greatest commandment. And he says, then the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, he says, depends what? The whole law and the prophets. If you were to hang the law and the prophets on that, you would see love. You remember what Moses had said to the children of Israel when he gave them the law? He says, this is life and death. That's what he told them. The instructions that God was giving or is giving us is showing and demonstrating his love. He's looking out for our best interests. Those instructions that was given to Israel was so that Israel would obey them and God would bless them. When they failed to obey God, then God cursed them. They were punished. And so the laws of what they were supposed to do was for their benefit. And they didn't see that. You know how we are when mom and dad, and especially those of you as we were growing up and we learned, and when mom and dad would give us instructions, how do we look at that sometimes? Oh, you're trying to rob me of my fun. They're trying to take that away. And mom and dad was instructing you so that you would not get hurt. But we didn't learn that until later on when we started having children of our own. That's what happened. Then we began to see, oh yeah, now I see why they were giving these instructions. It was for my benefit. They were trying to protect me from destroying myself. And so that's love. And God's instructions, his commandments, is showing love for us. Notice another passage, if you will, over in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5 verses 2 and 3, and we'll come back to some of these things as the lesson progresses. But just to show the thought of love is in reference to God. And when we learn from God about love, then it will apply to every aspect of our lives. He says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. God is not giving us these commandments just because he's God and saying, I just want to tell you what to do because I'm in control. No, he's looking out for our best interest. That's really what he's pointing out. And they are things or instructions that we can do. The question is, do we choose to do them? If we choose to do them, guess what? That's a demonstration of love. And so what I'm doing is starting to lay the groundwork of our lesson tonight in the pursuit of love. Love is very important. And the reason why love is so important is because it affects or has an impact on relationships. It does. What do you think about that for a moment? When you look in scriptures, you see how love affects every relationship and is spoken of in scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, where the husband is to do what? Love his wife. Over in Titus, the older women are to teach the younger women to do what? Love their husband. Why? Has a great impact on the husband and wife relationship. It has a great impact on we as brethren. Especially when you look over there in, here's the one in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. A husband ought to love their wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, we are learning when we look at God how to love like he does. And that comes with the husband and wife relationship. Here's another relationship. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. It is there that Peter speaks of this love for brethren. Since you have, he says, have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren. Now notice, fervently love one another from the heart. Do you know when we have that kind of mentality and that way of thinking, it's going to impact our relationship? It's going to be a joy to come to services and to be with brethren so that we can worship our God who teaches us how to love one another, how to have care and concern. Do you know out in the world doesn't care. It doesn't care about you. It will chew you up and spit you out and keep on churning until God brings it to an end. So many people love the world, and the world is not looking out for their best interest. The world is destroying them, and they don't see it because they don't know God. If they knew God and what God has done for them, it changes the way that they think. It'll change the way that they act. And it'll, enhance and build this relationship, this family mentality. Notice how he says, sincere love for what? The brethren. That's family. That's what that statement means. These words that God uses or had these men write down are words chosen to impact the way that we think. But we don't see that a lot of times. That word brethren is to emphasize that I am to love those who are born of God. Those who are striving to do what's right. And when those who have been deceived, those who are falling away, you and I, to show love is to help them to see the error of their ways and make the necessary corrections. As we engage in studying and helping each other, we are empowering each other. That's what God teaches us, and that's what love does. And then he goes on to say, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. So you want to learn how to love? You want to know what the responsibilities of love is all about? It's found in the word of God. And that's what we're seeing in these passages. So they become very important. And so, again, why is such things so important? I want you to notice something that is very interesting in Scriptures. If you look in the Scriptures, you'll see various types of relationships. You will have relationships that are perfect. And the perfect relationship is God, the Holy Spirit, and His Son. That's a perfect relationship. Then you have the loving relationship. Their loving relationship is where you see Ruth and Naomi. You remember the words that Ruth says to Naomi about your God will be my God, your people will be my people. Where you go, she was going to go with Naomi. And then she ends up coming to the people of God and dwelling in the land. And then she finds a fine husband of a man in Boaz, who is fulfilling the law of God. So you see the loving relationship. Then you see the strained relationship. You know what the strained relationship is? Paul and Barnabas. That was strained, wasn't it? But what happened to cause them to even consider one another? The strained relationship was Paul and Barnabas over John Mark. And then later on you have Paul writing about sin Mark. Send John Mark. Why was that? Love. The apostle had learned what love is. Barnabas knew and learned what love was as he encouraged brethren. That's why he was named that. And then you have the broken relationship. The broken relationship is man and God. Yeah. What broke it? Sin. Sin broke the relationship. However, the love of God had in place a plan to redeem man. You see. and that was Christ Jesus. That's what we read about there in 1 John chapter 4, with love being right there. That's the point. And then we see, or we can read about, the oppositional or adversarial type relationship. That's the relationship that Jezebel had towards Elijah. Yeah, that kind of relationship. Well, she has sought out to destroy, as you read there in 1 Kings chapter 19. So you see all of these different types of relationship. And so the apostle, in reference to those relationships, and sometimes our relationships are going to be strained, but love should take precedent so that we know, or we will conduct ourselves to resolve to bring about the unity, so that we will follow God the way that God teaches. In other words, we need to learn how to love as God loves. Yeah. And sometimes love can be very tough. I think it was Charles Dobson who wrote a book about tough love in dealing with children. Yeah, sometimes we have to show them tough love. It's for their benefit. And God showed Israel tough love. When they failed to obey the covenant that was made with them, God punished them. Why? Because He loved them. And God will punish us when we fail to obey His will. Why? Because He loves us. He wants us to get back on the path of following and doing His will, where true life is found. Yeah, that happens. So, what does it take to pursue? What is involved in this? In the pursuit of love, as the apostle teaches. What it takes, number one, it's going to take, in agape love, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Yeah. That's a part of love. Sometimes we don't see this, but it's right there for us to be able to see and learn as we look at what God says. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, did you notice what the apostle said about all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ? And in verse 7 it says, we have redemption and forgiveness through His blood. That's what's involved with the pursuit of love, is forgiveness. When you look over in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 37, here is Jesus being crucified, individuals mocking Him, individuals saying, if He saved others, let's see, let Him save Himself. And they're saying all kinds of things. They don't believe who He said He was or is. And the reply that Jesus expresses as He's being crucified, He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Forgiveness is a part of the love process. And it builds and maintains relationship. Because I'll tell you what, so brethren, I don't know, those of you who are married, you understand. My wife knows my flaws. And sometimes when my head gets too big, she'll burst it. And I don't like that sometimes. I don't like it. And there are times when I haven't done what I should do, and she would say, you're not my favorite person right now. I think that was the best way to say that. It's not, she doesn't say, I don't love you anymore. She said, you're just not my favorite person. I still love you. You're just not my favorite person. I say, that's easy to swallow. Because what that tells me is that I can obtain forgiveness. And what forgiveness means is to send an offense that was done towards you away. Yeah, you deal with it. Yes, you talk about it. And you rectify the problem. But at the same time, That means when forgiveness is sought, you're going to send the offense away. You're not going to let it be a part of your relationship. What's going to be a part of your relationship is forgiveness. So forgiveness is very important in the learning how to love as God loves. Notice in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. It is there that the apostle says, as he writes to these brethren at Colossae, and I'll tell you, these brethren were struggling. You have some of those individuals, what John dealt with when he wrote the letter, some of those individuals are here, and others were discouraged over the fact that they were not as wealthy as those areas of Laodicea and Areopolis. They were not as wealthy. And the apostle is encouraging them that you are in the kingdom of God. You are, through him, all things consist. Don't worry about the lack of material possessions that you have. But you can still serve the Christ. And so the apostle says in chapter 3, he says, so as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We have a responsibility, brethren. We're learning how to love as God loves. And so I'm going to tell you right now, if you do not have a spirit that is willing to forgive when forgiveness is sought, you're not loving as God loves. You're missing it. But when you have that spirit, as you're dealing with these issues and making sure that things are right and forgiveness is sought, as we align ourselves with the teaching of the Word of God, and that's done, what a beautiful relationship. I'll tell you one of the things, when I study the aspect of Esau and Jacob, and when, you know, Jacob has gone, and the reason why he left, Esau was angry with him, wasn't he? Because he stole the birthright in the mind of Esau, and he saw, if I could get, I'd get hold of my brother, I'd kill him. That's the kind of mentality he had. And so Jacob leaves the area with that thought. And so as he goes to the land, and then he has a family of his own and possessions, and he's coming back to the land, and what happens is, word comes about that Esau and his men are out there. What does Jacob do? Well, he says, well, I'll tell you what. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put these things ahead, and then I'm going to put the women and children, and then I'm going to come behind. You see, if anything happens, it'll happen to them first. That's really what you're seeing in that relationship there in Genesis. But then when he wrestles with the angel and it changes his mindset, he is learning to lean on God. And what he does is now he goes ahead of them. And he goes and he falls to Esau. And Esau doesn't, all those things that Jacob thought maybe Esau would do, they didn't. What happened? They embraced each other. They hugged and kissed and cried. And I'm telling you, that was beautiful because of forgiveness that was there. You see, the Bible teaches us about these things so that we can see them. God changes us when we learn how to love as He loves. So don't let your heart be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Learn how to love as God loves. And you're talking about a beautiful relationship? You talk about a beautiful, when there is hostility, and that hostility is removed, and brethren are embracing each other. I'm going to tell you what, that will be an action, and people will see that, and you will be unstoppable. You will unleash an aura, you will unleash this aroma that will be pleasing in the sight of God, and others will be able to say, these brethren love each other. And what is the world looking for? The world is looking for someone to love them. People are broken. No one loves me. That's what they're thinking. And so I will just go through life and I'm going to live the way. If I am destroyed, I am destroyed. And here we are. No, don't do that. We have hope in Christ Jesus. We love you. Because God loves us. And we want to share that love with you. You see? That's what happened. And they find forgiveness. And then what happens? We rejoice when they obey the gospel, don't we? That's love. As he is talking about this. In verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, the Lord forgives. Look, verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. That perfect bond of unity in reference to love includes forgiveness in it. Beautiful picture that God paints for us. What else is found in learning how to love as God loves? What else is involved in that? What else is involved is mercy. Yeah, mercy. Ever thought about that? Mercy is having compassion. It is active pity. It's a sense of goodness on someone else. And you may have the advantage. But you pity, you have compassion when you could destroy them, but you don't. And the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4 that God is rich in mercy. That is what's found in the treasure trove of God's heart is mercy. Learning to love as God loves means that you and I are going to apply or have that in our hearts and minds if we are pursuing love after the heart of God. Turn with me to Jude. Verses 21 and 23. I want you to notice what's there in the passage. Keep yourselves where? In the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Yeah, there are going to be people that will doubt. But we are to have mercy on them. We need to help them and encourage them. And tell them that we love them. We want to help them. To realize that God is there. And then notice what he says in verse 23. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. We are to hate the sin, but not the person. So that we can get down to the nitty-gritty of it and deal with the problems the individual has. And sometimes that's going to take listening. Yeah. And they're going to say some things that maybe just sounds insane. But you have the answers. You have the solution. You are part of it. That's in God. Yeah. And so mercy plays a very important part. And if we have mercy, you see, we have the upper hand. Those of us who obey the gospel, we have the upper hand. And it's individuals that have not obeyed the gospel. They need our help. We need to have compassion on them. And that's how we do that. And some of you, in the things that you're doing and striving to do and learning to do and beginning to apply in your life as you're growing in the grace and knowledge of God, I want to encourage you to keep it up. That's what God teaches us. Mercy. Then here's something else. Encouragement. You know what's another word for encouragement? Empowerment. That's what encouragement is. It means to strengthen. That's what it means. And so to strengthen and then empower individuals because God empowered us. You realize that? God empowered us. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Look there real quick. As Paul writes this letter to these brethren over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It is there that the apostle says to them in verses 8 through 11. He says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober." In other words, not intoxicated with ourselves. Yeah, that's the idea, sober. So be alert. That's the concept. "Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep," in other words, alive or those who have passed away, "we will live together with Him. Therefore," what? "Empower one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." Encouragement is involved with love. And that's what we're seeing here. Yeah, God teaches us that. What a great picture for us when Paul writes that and makes that known to those brethren there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 11. Yeah. A beautiful picture that we have in what's involved in the pursuit of love. That's agape. Yeah, it's all there. What a powerful concept. Now you see, when we read what Paul is saying to Timothy, you got to get the idea. Oh, okay, I see. Ah, wow. There's a lot that's there. Yes, there is. And it's a challenge for us. One last thought in reference to, well, there's many more that we can look at. But here's one that I think we don't quite see, because sometimes there is not that emotional good feeling. And that's obedience. Yeah, obedience. How does that fit in the process? You see, obedience is an expression of love. It is an expression of faith in God and His way of loving. Because we are looking out, see, God is looking out for our best interests. And this is exactly what Jesus expressed in Philippians chapter 2 that Paul writes about there in verses 4 through 11. You see, when Jesus, who came down in the form of man, or took on the form of a bondservant, humbled himself to the obedience of the cross. Number one, it was an expression of love to God the Father, fulfilling the will of God for us. Secondly, it was an expression of love for you and me. Yeah. Wow. So this picture that is painted here about obedience is very important. In fact, God highly exalted him and did what? Gave him a name above every name, that at that name we would bow to the glory of the Father. You see, yes, we see this in reference to Jesus being God and talking about the God-man in Christ Jesus. But in that also is the expression of love. And then you have passages like 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 4 again. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe or keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. In other words, faith is our deep trust in God, and our obedience is showing our love for God as well as our trust in God. And so when you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, you see faith and love together, don't you? And when you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you see faith and love there as well. Yeah. Our obedience and trust in God is an expression of our love for God. And sometimes we may not understand it, but when we do those things, God is pleased and we learn how they work out for us. And it is for our best interest. Oh, what manner of love God has bestowed upon us that we would be His children, as 1 John teaches us. How about that? Learning to love as God loves requires these things. It requires our forgiveness, our mercy, our encouragement or empowerment of one another, and our obedience to God. When you're pursuing those things, you are pursuing love. And as you pursue love, you will learn how to love as God loves. It will be after His heart. What a Savior. What a great God that we serve. I want to briefly say this. When you look back at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and those verses there, the other two words of pursuing perseverance and gentleness is dealing with, number one, bearing under the pressure that you face in learning how to love as God loves. Others will have their own view. We need to bear under the pressure and make sure that we're loving as God loves. Teaching truth, being an example to others and encouraging them, bearing under the pressure of the ridicule that we're going to face as we're growing in the grace and knowledge of God and applying what we learn in our lives, expressing our love. We need to bear under the pressure because Satan and those who are with him are going to come at us with full force. Then the other one, some of the translations, this translation, New American Standard, has gentleness. I think it's either the King James or the New King James has the word meekness. Folks and young folks, I want you to understand, meekness is not weakness. You know what meekness means? It means that you're able to see what God has said is good for you. It means that you're soft towards God. In other words, when God takes His thumbprint and He pushes it into you, you conform to Him. You see, that's being soft towards God. That you will mold, you'll be molded after His will. That you will begin to look and you'll begin to act and you'll begin to display the image of God in your life. That's that idea, that concept of gentleness. That's the concept of meekness. Another picture some of you may have are familiar with is like a spirited horse who has the ability to jump the fence. But he's controlled. He's controlled. And in our case, we're controlled by the love of God. That's what Paul said over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The love of Christ controls us. And they see Christ as the Son of God. They see Him as the Messiah. And they're teaching others because they look at others as souls needing to hear the gospel. When you put this all together, pursue it. And what you will be is better than you were yesterday. And there is hope for tomorrow. So tonight, if you have not put on Christ, I want to encourage you to do so before it's everlasting too late. And the reason why I say that is that you need to put your trust in Him. Because Jesus came and He died for us. He took our place. He shed His blood. And that blood, how we come in contact with that, is when we hear what God has done for us, and we trust Him, we repent of our sins, and we confess Him as Lord. He is now the ruler and master of our lives. And then we are to be buried with Him in baptism. I know a lot of folks will, all the way up until the point of baptism, they'll stop and say, I'm okay. No, you're not. Here's the reason why. You have one step. You see, baptism is linked to the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is for the forgiveness of sins. It cleanses or purges our conscience. It washes away or releases us because of the blood. The blood sanctifies us. And when you look at other passages say that baptism does the same. So what does he say? They're linked together. When you are baptized into Christ, 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, it's an answer of a what? A good conscience towards God. Our conscience purged. That's what it says of the blood. And then there is the forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven, as Peter and the apostles taught there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Did not Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 say that about the blood of Christ? Isn't that something? And then it says we are washed or released. And when you look in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias comes to Paul and he says, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins. You see, the blood of Christ washes away sin. They're connected. It's not a contradiction. It's a connection. The blood sanctifies us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Ephesians 5 and verse 26 says, we are sanctified when we obey the gospel. What a beautiful picture. We're baptized in Christ. Go all the way. Don't go halfway. Go all the way. Become a child of God. And then, as you are raised up out of the water to walk in newness of life, you'll learn how to love as God loves. As you pursue to be after His heart. May we all work together, encourage each other. So, my friend, we're here to help you to become a child of God. And so, if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you. Come. Come. We're here. And let me say this. You're nervous? I'll tell you what. Okay, we'll do this. All right, you're nervous. I'm coming down. I'll be right here. And if your legs are knocking, I'll hold you up. I've been working out. Yeah. I don't want to pull off clothes and show you how strong I am. But I'm strong. I can hold you up. I can help you. I want you to come. We are your friends. We want you to be in God's family. Where you will be loved. Where you'll be working with others to grow. Where you won't be ashamed. No. You won't be disappointed by God. So, why don't you answer tonight? Why don't you come as we stand and sing the song that was indicated?